Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Abortion. It is a topic that has been the cause of many, many disagreements. But it is also a topic that not only affects people personally, but also every single nation upon this earth. And you need to hear this message, whether you are pro-abortion or anti-abortion, because there are things that you need to hear pertaining to you and to the nation where you live. 2020 is the 50th anniversary of Title X. Most of you have probably never heard of it, but Title X was legislation that was signed into law by President Richard Nixon.
Did you know that affordable birth control and STD checks are available to everyone in the U.S.? In fact, it's required by U.S. law, and it's all thanks to the Title X funding program. Title X is legally designed to prioritize the needs of low-income families. It's a federal grant program that provides affordable and basic reproductive health services to anyone who wants or needs them, even if they're uninsured. So, how does it work? Health clinics like Planned Parenthood, school-based organizations, and local health departments receive Title X grants from the government so that they can provide services like birth control, STD testing, and even cervical and breast cancer screenings to low-income populations at a free or reduced price. And it's been this way for decades. In 1970, President Richard Nixon enacted Title X under the Public Health Service Act, requiring voluntary family planning services be available to everyone.
If you recall, Nixon was the one who also legalized abortions in 1973. However, 4 years earlier, he signed into law Title X, which funds Planned Parenthood. Now, Planned Parenthood, if you don't know, is the largest organization in the world performing and promoting abortion. And that piece of legislation called Title X was the green light to abortions 4 years before it was legalized in 1973.
Good evening. In a landmark ruling, the Supreme Court today legalized abortions. The majority in cases from Texas and Georgia said that the decision to end a pregnancy during the first 3 months belongs to the woman and her doctor, not the government. Thus, the anti-abortion laws of 46 states were rendered unconstitutional.
Those of you who are pro-abortion will disagree with this, but you can't disagree with what I'm about to prove, because abortion is murder. Murder, by definition, is the intentional killing of a human being. Some might say, well, the fetus is not a viable human being. However, doctors today can sustain and keep alive premature babies as early as 24 weeks. That's just over half of a normal 40-week gestation period. That's still part of the second trimester. If we are able to keep a 24-week-old premature baby alive, it is a human being. And it was a human being before the 24 weeks. It didn't just become a human being because it was taken out of the mother's womb and started breathing air. It was a human being before that. So, abortion is murder. And worst of all, abortion now includes partial birth, all the way up to term. And in some places, post-birth or full-birth abortions are permitted. Two main arguments used by pro-abortionists are that abortion is necessary in the case of rape and in the case where the mother's life is at risk. However, the majority of abortions are not for those reasons. In 2005, a report titled Perspectives on Sexual and Reproductive Health listed the major causes for abortion. Look at this list. Not ready for another child. Timing is wrong. Can't afford a baby now. Done with my childbearing. don't want to be a single mother, don't feel mature enough, husband or partner wants me to have an abortion, parents want me to have an abortion, don't want people to know I have had sex or am pregnant. Not all of these utterly meritless excuses, they account for 99.5% of all abortions. To date, since 1970, when Title X was approved, there have been 58 million abortions in the United States. And as a side note, there's 30 to 50 million abortions annually in the rest of the world. That means that well over 57.5 million of those 58 million babies that were aborted were without a cause. They were for financial or emotional concerns. Now, I'm going to tell you up front that statistically speaking, they cannot even give you a realistic number on the number of abortions that were solely for the purpose of rape or the health of the mother. That 0.5% that they list there is in question because it is so statistically meaningless that it cannot be measured accurately. However, let's talk about rape. What happens when a woman who has been raped, a tragedy and a crime in and of itself, aborts her baby? She is killing an innocent child, a child who is having to die for the sins of the father. Is that justice? That the child has to die because the father did something wrong? That's like putting the son in prison for a father who goes out and robs a store. Or that's like arresting the abused wife of an abusive husband. It is completely backwards. This is not what God says. Look in Ezekiel 18, verse 20. The soul that sins, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, nor shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. Verse 30, thus I will judge you, O house of Israel, each one of you according to his ways. God's justice is specific to the sins of the person. And yet, when a woman aborts a baby in the case of a rape, she is condemning an innocent child to death because of the sins of the father. Let's also talk about abortion in the case where the mother's health is at risk. These instances are actually even rarer than rape, by far, especially with today's medical advances and capabilities of today. Doctors have the ability to medically treat women for a wide variety of potential risks. And so, the rare cases where the mother's health is at risk in no way justifies the unrestricted and unrestrained abortions going on in this country and in the world today. These are abortions for convenience, not abortions of necessity. Abortion is murder, no matter how you look at it.
But we all have that moment where we realize that we are moms and we killed our children. It's pretty sick. It's a sick feeling.
The real irony behind all this is President Richard Nixon's motives for legalizing abortion to begin with. He had two reasons, two personal reasons why he legalized abortion. One were the cases of rape. The second was cases of interracial marriage. In other words, Richard Nixon was a racist, and he wanted to be able to legalize abortions to eliminate the offspring of interracial couples. And that's really what abortion has become in a large sense, because the African American or black community in the United States only accounts for about 13% of the population, but the black community account for 50%, half, over half of all abortions.
52% of all African American pregnancies end in abortion, 1,786 a day. And since 1973, over 20 million African Americans have been killed by abortion alone. So it is not anything to be used lightly. It is a sociological fact, and it's happening on our watch, and I'm grieved over that. Institutions like Planned Parenthood are targeting African Americans.
We're going to talk about the notorious Planned Parenthood. You're being told to go to Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood has a plan for you, especially you young ladies. Planned Parenthood is taking it far beyond what the Ku Klux Klan ever thought they could possibly take it.
So what is abortion in God's eyes? Leviticus chapter 20, verse 2. And you shall say to the children of Israel, any one of the children of Israel or of the strangers who lives in Israel that gives any of his children to Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. Molech was a pagan god that peoples of that time worshipped. And they would sacrifice their children in worship of this god. Verse 3, and I will set my face against that man, and I will cut him off from among his people, because he has given of his seed to Molech. Molech was the chief deity and idol of the Ammonites. And if you recall, Ammon was a descendant of Lot. Today, the Ammonites live in the areas around Syria and Jordan. And Molech is also called Molech, Malcham, and Milcham. In ancient times, worship of Molech consisted usually of a bronze statue of a figure with a bull's head and horns and outstretched arms. And they would take this statue and they would build a fire around it and under it. And they would place their children in the arms of this statue where they would burn to death. When they did that, they would play flutes and drums to drown out the screaming of the child. This was what it means to give of your seed to Molech. It was done in ancient times, and as we will see, this is exactly what is going on today with abortion. Because if you think that abortion, which is just another form of infanticide, the murder of infants, is anything other than an ancient pagan ritual, think again. Let's define the term sacrifice. Sacrifice means to give up something of worth, something of value, for something considered to be more worthy or of more value. Today, most people have not heard of Molech, but he was well known even up to the beginning of the 20th century. In the early 1900s, the Italians released a movie called Cabiria. And I want you to watch this short clip, because it shows a reenactment of the sacrificing of children to the god Molech. And if you notice, they place the child into the arms of the statue, where there's fire all around it, and they were consumed by the fire. And at the same time, in the foreground, you will see the people beating on drums and playing flutes to drown out the noise of the screams. People do not want to admit that child sacrifice occurs in modern times. They want to hide behind curtains of enlightenment and pretend that these things only occurred in times past. But it is still murder, and abortion is worship of evil. In fact, the Satanists admit that abortion is a ritual sacrifice. The Satanic Temple in Salem, Massachusetts, recently sued an advertising company in Arkansas for refusing to display on their billboards promotions of what they called, quote, a religious abortion ritual. The group describes the ritual as a sacramental act that confirms the right of bodily autonomy. Now, what is a ritual? It's just a sequence of events performed during a ceremony. What is a sacrament? It is a sacred or religious object or symbol. Let me be clear. Performing a ritual for a sacramental act can only have significance in the worship of a god. The Satanists are the only ones who have honestly admitted that abortion is a religious rite, a religious act, a worship of Satan. In a paper titled Demonic Abortion, Father Thomas Awantanoya describes how today's abortions are nothing more than a continuation of the ancient rituals and practices that they used during Molech worship. Listen to what he says. The modern abortion industry offers ritual blood sacrifice to the ancient abortion demon. It is in every way a demonic religion. It has its sacred dogma. We call it choice. Its ruling hierarchy, that's called Planned Parenthood. Its theologians, the feminist ideologues. Its sacrificing priesthood, those would be the abortionists. Its temples, those are the abortion clinics. Altars, those are the surgical tables. Ritual victims, primarily babies, but it also includes the mothers who had abortions. Acolytes and sacristans, those are the clinical workers, and death escorts. They even have congregations, he says. These are all the supporters of abortion. And its own unifying principle of sacramental grace. This is money and profit. In short, he says, the abortion industry is a perfect demonic system which offers a perverse form of worship to the devil. Instead of a temple, we have abortion clinics. Instead of priests, there are doctors. Instead of the temple workers, there are nurses. Instead of priests receiving payment in the form of animal parts from animal sacrifices, they sell organs and body parts. Instead of a bronze image of Molech, there is the abortion table. Instead of fire, the fetus is sometimes burned alive with saline, or their heads are crushed. Instead of flutes and drums to drown out screams, the murder occurs in the womb where they cannot be heard. In fact, how many women do you think would go through an abortion if they had to listen to their child scream as they were dying, suffering? Instead of worshiping gods and idols, we worship ourselves. Leviticus 20, beginning of verse 4. If the people of the land in any way hide their eyes from the man when he gives of his children to Molech and do not kill that man, then I will set my face against that man and against his family and will cut him off and all that go whoring along with him. Not only does God condemn abortion, but he condemns the people of that nation who do not stop it.
We deserve autonomy for our body in this country.
We do not have feeble minds. We do not need more fathers. We do not need more people telling us how to control our bodies. This is a fundamental right of a woman. This is a fundamental right of all humans to have control over your body.
CBS News poll found two-thirds of Americans want the Supreme Court to keep Roe versus Wade as it is, while 28% want it overturned. In 1975, 2 years after Roe, 54% said they supported abortion under certain circumstances, and 22% said it should be illegal.
So what happens if that nation refuses to put away abortion? Jeremiah chapter 32, beginning in verse 30. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. This is prophesying of today. In the times of Moses, they were in their youth, but the tribes of Israel and Judah are still around. You can write for our free booklet, if you don't believe that, U.S. and Britain, and you will find out that they are still around, and they are no longer in their youth. So this is a prophecy for us today. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, says the Lord. Verse 31, for this city has been to me a cause of my anger and my fury from the day that they built it, even to this day, that I should remove it from before my face. Because of all the evil of the children of Israel and the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger. Verse 35, and they built the high places of Baal in the valley of the son of Hinnom to cause their sons and daughters, this is the descendants of Israel and Judah today, to sacrifice their sons and daughters, which I did not command them, nor did it come into my mind that they should do this abomination. God calls abortion an abomination.
God bless women and God bless men. It's time for men to be men and women to be women.
We have an example of what God will do to a nation that sacrifices its children. All we have to do is look at the Egyptians in the time of Moses. Exodus 1 and verse 22. Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, that is of the Israelites, you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Pharaoh charged every one of his citizens to kill the Israelite male children.
So let it be done.
So speaks Ramesses the First.
No! No! Oh, where can... Oh, no! Please! No!
They were to throw them in the Nile River where they drowned or were eaten by crocodiles. What was the first plague on Egypt? God turned the water to blood. That was to remind them of what they had done in murdering all those children. And it was the precursor to their utter destruction. Egypt is no longer what it once was, and it never has been. In the history of Egypt, God utterly destroyed it and has kept it as a third world country since the time of Moses. This is God's promise to any nation that kills its children. How much worse is God's destruction to a nation that kills its children for convenience or pleasure?
In 1991, rock singer Sinead O'Connor said that she wrote the song My Special Child just 2 weeks after aborting a planned and wanted baby because the pregnancy was making her ill and interfering with her touring schedule. About that same time, Oprah Winfrey had a show about women who get pregnant as a ploy to trap men into marriage. One of the guests stated, with no hesitancy or shame, that when her scheme didn't work out, she had an abortion. Then a few years ago, some female athletes were caught using pregnancy as a way to circumvent the Olympics rules against blood doping. These women were intentionally getting pregnant just prior to competition in order to increase the amount of oxygen in their bodies and heighten their performance. After the competition was over, they would just abort. Marilyn Buckham, who was the director of a Buffalo, New York death camp, was asked about the reasons women have abortions. In her answer, she stated, quote, "Women don't do this lightly. I'm sick and tired of hearing this. 98% of women who do it here do it lightly. They think of abortion like brushing their dying teeth, and that's okay with me," unquote. Believe me, Ms. Buckham was simply stating what most pro-choice people know but are too dishonest to admit.
But God also says that if there is a nation who repents of what they do, He will not destroy them. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 7, "If at any time I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck it up and to pull it down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken will turn from their evil, I, God, will repent of the evil I thought to do to them." How can you get a nation to repent? Is this even possible? Absolutely yes. Because it starts with you. And it starts with me, seeking God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and being, repenting, crying out to Him to forgive our sins, and praying for this nation to get on its knees and repent. You might say, "But I am just one person." But if you are just one person and you repent to God, and then you tell your neighbors, and they repent, and they tell their friends, and they repent, it is possible for a nation to repent. But it begins with each one of us individually coming before God with all of our heart, seeking His forgiveness. And I want to make an important point. For those who have actually had an abortion, God is merciful to forgive. He forgave David for murdering Uriah the Hittite over a woman, Bathsheba. And He will forgive you too, even if you have had an abortion. But you must seek Him with all your heart. And you must come to Him with true repentance and ask Him to forgive you, but He will. That is a promise. And if at this point you've started praying and seeking God and you want to know more, go to our website and download "Lord, What Should I Do?" That is probably the most important question that you can ask. Until next time, this is Stephen Green with Church at Home.